next on the 5 o'clock report.
This is a message from Putin that he will not stop.
It means so much to see and hear the children and all the families show up to be here today.
Paris Jeff Cheer wins the Boston Marathon.
It just seems arbitrary now.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. A federal judge is striking down the mask mandate on planes and other forms of public transportation.
The Centers for Disease Control did not have the authority to issue this mask. And secondly, that the federal government failed to go through all the necessary steps in making a rule like this and seeking public comment.
NBC legal analyst Pete Williams says two women did not like wearing masks on a plane.
One of them said that her anxiety was aggravated by having to wear a face mask, and the other said the mask constricted breathing and provoked or exacerbated her panic attacks.
It's unclear if the CDC or the Justice Department will appeal the decision. Today is also the federal tax deadline for most Americans. Correspondent Jolene Kent's offering help for a faster refund.
Filing online, get it done. Triple check for mistakes. Make sure you're filing with that correct status. Married, filing jointly or separately. And of course, report all your taxable income.
It's the last day to send in returns or file for an extension. Stats show nearly one in three taxpayers wait to file at the last minute. Time again for an April snow event. Most parts of New York and PA are slated to pick up between a coating to 8 inches of wet snow. Up to a foot of the white stuff could dump on the eastern Twin Tiers tonight and early tomorrow. ABC 27 meteorologist Dan Tomaso.
A lot of this is going to fall and melt on contact, but as we head into the late evening, that's when, as temperatures fall, some of the ridge tops could pick up snow showers, a cold air mass with some precipitation moving in. This sort of mess can happen.
A winter storm warning is in place from 6 tonight through Tuesday at noon, covering a path from Scranton, PA, including Elmira, Ithaca, Oneonta, and Utica, New York. Advisories are also up for downed trees, power outages, and tricky travel. To Eastern Europe, Russian missiles hitting the western city of Lviv today, killing at least 7 people. Ukrainian officials calling these the first war deaths in that city. Former parliament member Hannah Hopko.
This is a message from Putin that he will not stop unless we, Ukraine, and collective West, by providing Ukraine with weapons we need, we stop Putin, because his goal is to destroy the whole Ukrainian nation.
CBS's Charlie Daggett with an update from southeastern Ukraine.
There's not much left of Mariupol after weeks of an unrelenting Russian onslaught. But within this sprawling steel plant and the series of tunnels beneath it, a number of Ukrainian forces are still holding out, defying the ultimatum from Russia to surrender or die.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said Moscow may be targeting military units or related targets. Back in the U.S., Kenyans rule the day in the Boston Marathon. After a 2-year absence due to COVID, runners from around the globe gathered and ran the Boston Marathon today. Among the men, Evan Shabe made a late breakaway to win the 126 Boston event with an unofficial time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 51 seconds. WBZ-TV announcing results for the women.
A battle. Paris Jepchirchir wins the Boston Marathon. A Kenyan victory.
Jepchirchir's unofficial time, 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 2 seconds. Some 30,000 runners signed up for today's big race. And the White House Easter egg roll is back after a 2-year hiatus due to the pandemic.
And it's so special. It means so much to see and hear the children and all the families show up to be here today.
The President and First Lady Jill Biden welcomed thousands of children and their families on a chilly, rainy morning at the White House.
My job is to keep it from raining for another 2 minutes.
The Bidens were joined by two humans in Easter Bunny costumes on a balcony overlooking the South Lawn. Still to come this Monday, putting the masks back on in Philly, saving the ship in New York, and rewinding the maps.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight, rain changing to snow, continuing into tomorrow morning, with accumulations across the area ranging from a slushy inch near Lake Erie to more than 8 inches over the higher elevations of central and northeastern Pennsylvania. Low temps tonight near the freeze point, blustery tomorrow with leftover snow showers and a high in the low 40s. Milder Wednesday, though, with ample sunshine, high temperatures then near 50.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for more of what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, the mask mandate is now back on in Philadelphia.
It just seems arbitrary now.
I wish everyone would just get vaccinated and get boosted so we didn't have to do the mask mandate. That'd be cool. But can't blame everyone for, you know, having their own choices, so kind of got to deal with it.
KYW's Tim Jimenez.
Not wanting to deal with it is a group of business owners and citizens that is suing the city over the mandate. City officials haven't commented on this specifically, but they say a ruling on a similar suit last week went in their favor. Now, the health department defends the decision, saying even though cases aren't as high as in previous surges and hospitalizations are low right now, it's important to limit the spread of the BA2 variant sooner rather than later.
It's a different story in the Empire State.
I'm going to protect the health of New Yorkers, but I'm also protecting the economy. I'm not going to shut it down again. You can count on that.
Governor Kathy Hochul tells 970 AM.
But we are seeing an increase in cases, and people are getting anxious, and that might affect whether people come at this time. But they will not stay away because of the crime issue. We're going to lean hard in this.
Last week, the state health department issued a warning about two Omicron subvariants that have been connected to the recent increase in infections. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer visiting Buffalo today to announce a three-tiered approach to get federal funding to save the USS the Sullivans.
The federal government should have a real role, obviously. This was a naval ship.
The destroyer began taking on water following a major breach in the hull last week.
The U.S. Navy, the Coast Guard, and all of our federal government and the men and women who serve and have served in our military love memorials like this because they remind us of the fights that we have had to make for our freedom.
Part of the plan includes a request for increases to the National Maritime Heritage Grant Program in this year's National Defense Authorization Act. Meanwhile, bird flu is making the rounds. Family Life's Dee Haley.
The strain started in Europe a couple of years ago, but has been moving up the East Coast and is now reportedly as close as Orleans County. The highly contagious disease is carried mostly by waterfowl like geese and ducks, along with seagulls. The disease is spread as birds migrate. Waterfowl do not typically die from it, but chickens, eagles, and hawks generally die within days of showing symptoms. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thanks, Dee. Some experts are urging us to delay putting out the bird feeders to contain the outbreak. Next at 5, we look at some of the top issues facing students, parents, and employees at public schools with Dr. Ralph Kerr.
What can $220 billion buy? That is the price tag on the New York State budget. As it pertains to education, Ralph, what have you been able to find out?
Yeah, $220 billion is a lot of money. And for education, it actually is going to be over $3 billion. And that's an increase of $1.9 billion year to year. And it's just a whole lot of money. You know it is when it takes the New York State School Board's 8 pages to analyze just the education section of the budget. It's so much money. But one of these days, and I've been saying this for a long time, it's going to catch up with us, and we're not going to be able to continue to fund schools and other entities as well. Yeah. And anything near like we're doing now.
Well, I know a lot of school superintendents are just glad to have a budget so they can do their budgets, and those budgets will be decided May 17th. Do you expect most districts, as is typically the case, will stay under that 2% property tax cap so they can continue to get that money from Albany?
I hope they will. I mean, the increases are huge from the state, and I think it's, unless there's some really unusual circumstance, districts should stay under the cap.
Yeah. We've talked a lot on this program about the dearth of school bus drivers. Well, New York wants to make school buses run completely on electricity in the not-too-distant future. Ralph, what's the time frame for doing this, and is it feasible in your opinion?
There are 28,000 school buses in the state of New York. And if 28,000 buses actually were going to be turned into electric buses, that would take years to make that happen. And if you think we got a bus driver shortage now, just wait until we say to future bus drivers, oh, and by the way, these buses are all running on electricity. So that's another hurdle that you're going to have to jump if you're going to be successful as a bus driver.
Yeah. Speaking of the shortage of bus drivers, the Pennsylvania State of Education report was released last week. That's put out by the State School Boards Association. It found 80% of the districts there are experiencing a bus driver shortage. 99% of districts are having staffing issues this year. I know that doesn't surprise you. 30,000 fewer students enrolled in public schools in Pennsylvania over the past year. Is this a direct consequence of the pandemic?
Well, part of the fewer students is that people are leaving the state, both Pennsylvania and New York. I was recently in Florida, and it's phenomenal, the number of people that are saying we just came from the north. But I do think that there are a lot of other issues in school, like critical race theory and concerns about textbooks and curriculum and school safety. There's a whole lot of factors that are going into that. I think it's a combination of events, but certainly COVID is part of that.
Yeah. We've talked on this program a lot, and I think this is one of the greatest concerns you might have is how schools can combat this, and how is this going to fundamentally change how school is done in the years to come? What are some of the more immediate impacts of this shortage of not just substitute teachers, but even regular faculty in our public schools?
Well, this is true. I mean, if you look in almost any major newspaper, throughout New York and Pennsylvania, you'll see there are ads running now for teachers. What's happening now is that teachers in one classroom are being asked to join up with the classroom next door. I read, I think it was in New Mexico, where they actually recruited the National Guard to go into the schools to help with that. These are creative ways to meet a shortage that's not only upcoming, but is here with us now.
That's Ralph Kerr with the Teaching and Learning Institute speaking with Family Life's Bob Price. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at familylife.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks having a choppy day today, bouncing between gains and losses, but closing down for the day. Earnings reports continuing to come in, with a majority of companies beating estimates. However, it's looking that profit margins have taken a hit in the past quarter due to higher input costs from inflation. Crude oil is up this afternoon, sitting right under $108 a barrel. The Dow today down 39 points, the NASDAQ lost 18, and the S&P 500 losing just about a point. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Don't trust in riches. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Psalm 49 is about how money can mislead us. We can start to think of it as our source of security. But the psalmist reminds us that ultimately money is not secure. Each person, he says, will die someday and leave it all behind. Putting one's confidence in money, he says, is a foolish confidence. And the psalm stresses that even the rich, who have so much in this life, will carry nothing away from it. Now, don't misunderstand, money is important, and the Lord knows we need it to make our way in the world and to take care of our loved ones. But God alone is our source of security. And when this life is over, He, not money, will be our very great reward. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit moneywise.org.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, a storm coming out of the Midwest, redeveloping on the Atlantic coast, tapping into moisture from the south and cold air from Canada, will set the stage for a wintry go of it tonight into tomorrow. The call for tonight, rain changing to snow, continuing into tomorrow morning, with accumulations across the area ranging from a slushy inch near Lake Erie to more than 8 inches over the higher elevations of central and northeastern Pennsylvania. Low temps tonight near the freeze point, blustery tomorrow with leftover snow showers and a high in the low 40s. Milder Wednesday, though, with ample sunshine. High temperatures then near 50.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, some of us lived through it, and now, no matter what your age, you can journey backward to 1985 without a passport or ticket, right from your phone or computer screen. Brian Query has the details.
Gotta get back in time. This past weekend, Google celebrated the one-year anniversary of one of its biggest updates in years. Through their Google Earth service, users can travel back 37 years and see how sites have changed in that time. If you're wondering how it's possible, Google reports having sourced more than 24 million satellite photos taken over four decades for its Google Earth tool. So if you're curious to see what your hometown, local landmark, or some other spot may have looked like 37 years back, visit g.co/timelapse. Your future self will be glad you did. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brian. And that's the world we live in this 18th of April. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.